volunteer. Our first song this morning is page 21. Page 21, Love Divine, Love All Excelling. We're going to sing all four verses. Page 21.
Service where we go to the Lord and thank Him for all that He gives us. He gives us so much that if we have some left over to give Him, let's go to Him in prayer.
Heavenly Father, we're so thankful that You are our Father. You take care of our needs. We have logistical grace. We thank You that we can always depend upon You, and we don't have to earn or deserve this. It's because of Your grace. Now we commemorate that grace in giving, not from a sense of compulsion, but from a sense of great gratitude. And we do this to the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, even Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen. Before we begin, I have an announcement about our shirts. These are the shirts that you can order. It's got our logo, Country Bible Church, Brenham, Texas, there. And on the back, it has, by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone. And this Sunday is the next to last Sunday you still have to order these. They're quality shirts. They have a pocket on them here. And they're $10. And so I've ordered four. And they come in different colors. This is the color, by the way. I would, if you just are getting one T-shirt, go ahead and splurge and do another $10, because you may have a yellow shirt. But I'd like all of us to have at least one blue shirt, so when we go places, we'll all have this same one on, and we'll be act like a family, which we are. Y'all come in, come on in. Anyway, after next Sunday, then the order will be closed. Janelle, can you stand up? Janelle is the one that's ramrodding this. Mm-hmm. If you have any questions or if you want to order one, she's going to stay a little late today, is that right? In order to take any orders. And so, thank you. That's good. Okay. It is our custom to prepare ourselves for the study of God's Word by having a few moments of silent prayer. And during that time, we have the opportunity to name privately to God the Father any unconfessed sins, which ensures the filling of the Holy Spirit. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we are in awe of who and what You are, and Your faithfulness and Your power. We thank You that we are the royal family assembled here this morning to grow in grace and knowledge. We thank you that we don't have to have a high IQ. It's not our ability to process things. It's the desire to learn. And that's all we have to do. And the Holy Spirit is our mentor. And He's what makes the spiritual phenomenon clear and lucid to us. So we pray that you will help us to focus and concentrate this morning. For we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, I have just about everything on my has to do with my message today on PowerPoint. But I'm not real happy about PowerPoint this morning. Because, well, you'll see. Let's see, what do I have to do here? Oh, yeah. I hadn't done this in a little while. Slideshow and beginning. Okay, I had all of this to where every paragraph would show up, but everything under it wouldn't. That's why I normally do it, because it might come to a shock to you, but some people read ahead. And I don't like reading ahead. And so I cannot hide what's down there below. You're going to have to be on your best behavior this morning and keep your eyes up there where they belong. Because when you're down here reading this, you're not hearing what I'm saying up there. That kind of sounds like I'm scolding, but I'm not really. I'm just imploring, really. Okay, so we went over the faith rest drill towards the end of lesson 45. And that was a while back. And the faith rest drill is just a term we use to access a special rest, a place, a spiritual rest that God had given the Exodus generation when they left the Egyptians, and it was up to them to use it, and they didn't use it. And of course, we know that when they had gone through the deserts and came to the Jordan River, they had sent spies out before then, and the spies, there was 12 of them, and the spies said that the land is beautiful, it's full of milk and honey, which means it's great, but there are giants in the land. And they were afraid. And they refused to go across that river because they didn't believe that God could do what He said He was going to do. And so they were sent back to the wilderness. And all of them died except Caleb and Joshua, because those were the two spies. They were spies at that time. Said, God has said He's given us this land. He's going to give us the victory. Let's go get them. But the rest of them went back to a horrible place and died. So the Exodus generation did not enter the promised land because they refused to believe that God would give them victory over the Canaanites who were living on the land that God promised them, the Israelites. Now, we can project ourselves back at that time, and we might be so foolish to think, well, I would be like Caleb and Joshua. I would have trusted the Lord. Well, really, we don't know what we would have done, but the good news is that we can still trust Him today. So they did not enter His rest by trusting Him to do what He said He would do. So they were sent back to the wilderness to die. That is a sad commentary. And those that were under 20 would grow up and they would cross the river. The children. The rest that they rejected was an individual spiritual rest in the Lord. I know most of you have heard this and could probably explain what it means, this special rest that God has offered to His children. But I'm coming at it from a little bit different perspective this morning. And you will notice that as we go through. But it is an individual spiritual rest in the Lord. Now, we all know what it feels like when you're tired and you get to rest. Don't we? I mean, when you are exhausted and when you go and sit down in a chair, I don't know how you do it, but I don't really sit. I fall into that chair. I fall into that chair and I'm just so relaxed. That's physical. And that's good. We can't even hold a candle. Can't even come close to this spiritual rest that God gives us in the Lord. There's no effort or work required to possess it, and no one can buy it. The only way you receive this wonderful rest is by trusting Christ with your problems and your life. Let's think about this a minute. This rest is, we're going to go over the scriptures in the New Testament in Hebrews chapter 3, starting with verse 6. So this isn't just something for the Old Testament, and it's for us as well. And it doesn't have anything to do with salvation, eternal life. This is what we are looking at after we have been saved. What are you going to do when stress and problems and things enter into your life? How do you deal with them? Well, this rest was designed by God so that He would be the one dealing with your problems and woes, not you. We weren't designed to do that. But there's not many people that understand that. So God gives us the opportunity to trust the Lord today, just as the Israelites were trusted, had an opportunity to trust, to do what He said He would do. We call it faith rest. So whenever you have problems, you have a choice. You can take those problems and give them to the Lord. He wants you to. Cast your burden on Him, because He cares for us. That's rare to begin with. When was the last time someone came up to you and said, "Look, I know you have these problems. Just give them to me. I want your problems." Has that ever happened to you? No. Why? Because we all have problems. They have their own problems. But the Lord wants to handle our problems. Is anybody reading ahead yet? Okay, just checking. So, when we give our problems, difficulties, troubles, setbacks, predicaments, do you get into predicaments very often? I try not to, but I'm not very successful. Anyway. Predicaments and crises to Jesus Christ to handle. This is what happens. Now, when you do this, when you are not fighting your own battles and trying to win the war in your own power, when you stop that nonsense and literally go to the Lord in prayer and say, "I have this, that, and the other, all these things, I can't handle them. And I know I can take my burden and give them to You, and You will handle them. And my job is to trust You to handle my problems." Now, that doesn't mean everything gets rosy and everything's lovely. But as we're going to see, what happens, and number one here is, this is what happens when you give your problems to the Lord and trust Him to handle it. Number one, the stress, worry, fear, anger, confusion, and dreading the outcome of our situation ends. Do you believe that? Do you believe that's possible? Well, the Bible says it's possible. That's what happens when you cast your burden upon the Lord. How much time... Now, this is a rhetorical question. I don't want any answers. But how much time this week did you fret about the situation that you're dealing with? Isn't that the normal thing that we do? We have little things that happen, we handle those, but every once in a while a bigger thing happens. And These things that are listed here, stress, worry, fear, anger, and so forth, are mental attitude sins. You don't invite them, they just show up. And you can either kick them to the curb and say, you're going to the wrong person. These problems are not mine anymore because I gave them to the Lord. Or you can say, well, I guess I have to deal with them. Wouldn't that be great not to have any of that anymore? And they're all ours because we are trusting Him with them, not ourselves. You become a lot easier to live with or to have a friend and still be a friend when you don't have this stress and worry and so forth. Stress can kill you. Stress affects the body as well. Number two, a relationship with Him, that would be the Lord, goes to a new level. We talk to Him more. We thank Him more. We ask Him for more. And we love Him more. All those are good things, are they not? And it comes automatically when you start trusting the Lord, and you'll see His faithfulness, you see His power. It's quite an experience. Number three, we develop a relaxed mental attitude. We call it a RMA. We don't freak out when something goes wrong or when people try to get us all riled up. A relaxed mental attitude. Can you go to the DMV and keep a relaxed mental attitude? Can you be on hold for an hour and it finally is your turn and the phone goes dead? And you keep a mental attitude. I could sit here and name these things on and on and on. Well, it's up to you. It's possible. God has made it available to you. All you have to do is trust Him that He has your problems. I want to say at the outset now also, none of us can do that. Not perfectly. There are going to be times when we're going to try to take back our problems from the Lord. Why would someone do that? Why would you want to take back your problems from the Lord? Well, I can think of a few reasons. One, you're not working fast enough. Or the problem's getting worse. It does sometimes. And your faith just starts to wither. What do you do when that happens? Well, I think the best thing to do is go to the Lord and tell Him, I'm a bit wobbly. My faith is thin ice. And ask Him to help you to trust Him more. That is a legitimate prayer. Do you think He will answer that? Of course He will. That's the power of prayer. So when that happens, we know that we can, first of all, acknowledge our sins because of the mental attitude sins that we have. And He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and forgive us from all unrighteousness, 1 John 1:9. Thus, if you don't know about 1 John 1:9, just write it down on your pad or on the back of your hand or something. Because you need to know how to get back in fellowship after you have sinned. It's all because of grace. The sin's already been paid for. What really is at stake when we stop trusting the Lord and start trusting ourselves, what really happens is we are arrogant. And what God requires is for us to be humble. And when we are humble, that's when we acknowledge our sin and He forgives it. Number four. We get to see the faithfulness and power of our God working on our behalf. Have you ever witnessed that? Have you ever seen it? Oh, it's something else. I mean, we know that God works to bring all things together to His will. But when you have a particular problem and you see Him go to work for you and you start seeing results, it puts a smile on your face. Number five, we are comforted to know that we never will, that He never will leave us or forsake us, and it is impossible for Him to fail us. He can't fail. It's impossible. Now, you may think that He failed because He's taking so much time in order to handle your problems, but He has perfect timing. Have you ever prayed for somebody, or are you praying for somebody that you've prayed for a long time? I'm talking about not months, but years. Have you ever done that? Have you ever felt like giving up? Well, He's not hearing me or anything. No. He's working on your behalf, but He's going to do it in His timetable, not ours. And it's going to be the perfect time. And when we get to see that, that too would put a smile on your face. Number six is faith resting doesn't always mean that things get better. Sometimes they get worse. But God will never allow us to be tested beyond what we are able to bear. That is when we're trusting Him. I'd like for you to put, maybe wherever you are in the Bible, put a little bookmarker there. And I want you to turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 13. Now, I will also put it on the board. 1 Corinthians 10:13, but it's such an important verse, you need to highlight it, mark it somehow, so that you will see the great compassion that God has for us and His righteousness. By the way, if you don't have a Bible, we have one in the center of each aisle if you want to grab one. Now, I'll bring your attention to what's at the top. You have to put this in the right context. This verse below is only for believers who are filled with the Holy Spirit and are experiencing undeserved suffering. So if you are suffering punitive suffering because you did something stupid, this verse is not for you. If you're in that situation, what you need to do is to, of course, acknowledge your sins to God. He forgives that sin. And the undeserved suffering we don't look for, it looks for us. So here it is, 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13. 1 Corinthians 10, 13. This says, no temptation has overtaken you. Now you'll see I put a forward slash and then testing. The word for temptation for temptation in the Greek can mean temptation or testing. I like to use the term testing. It is in the explanation of this word is testing as well. So no testing has overtaken you, but such as is common to man. Now, he says that because you think what you're experiencing is unique. No one in the world has ever faced this before. Well, if you just stop and think for a moment, you know that's not true. There's nothing new under the sun. And God is faithful. You might want to underline that. That's what it's all about. And God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tested beyond what you are able. So if you are a baby believer, God is not going to give you a test that might be hard for a mature believer to pass. He's fair and He's right, and so He's not going to be able to, He's not going to test you beyond what you're able to bear. But with the testing, it doesn't go around it, doesn't ignore it, goes right through it, but with the testing, will provide the way of escape also that you may be able to endure it. That is a promise. Now, sometimes you might think, oh, I can't endure it. But see, this type of suffering, undeserved suffering, is to help you grow spiritually, to see the Lord, what the Lord can do for you, and He always makes a way. Point number 7, we find that good things do happen when we undergo undeserved suffering for blessing. See, when you are suffering, it's not your fault, it's undeserved. God brought that about because He's going to bless you through this. And here a few are of the good things that happen. Spiritual growth. Whenever you are suffering undeservedly and you're trusting God, you are going to grow spiritually. Also, stronger relationships occur. Your relationship with God will automatically be on a higher level, and it also happens with family and friends as well. A greater capacity for love grows. Because you can't help but love the Lord when He's taking care of your problems. And an RMA develops. Do y'all remember what an RMA is? Let's hear it. I'm going to say start. We're all going to say what that is. I call it what it is. Are you ready? Okay, go. There you go. I got some RMAs. I got relaxed mental attitude. Well, it's really the same, but usually I put it in a parenthesis because some people don't believe there's such a thing that you can have a relaxed mental attitude. And we can't. On our own power, we have a pittance of power, nothing to even notice. We do that. We have a relaxed mental attitude because of God's power. And number 8, the horrible consequences of failing to faith rest are shown in the scriptures below. What a pity it is that so many people don't even know what faith rest is. They don't know this special rest. And yet we see it in Exodus, and we see it in Hebrews, and parts of the Bible in between. Now, I want you to turn to Hebrews chapter 3, verse 6 in your Bibles. We're going there because this is where it all comes down. Hebrews chapter 3, verse 6. Now, I have it on the board so you can watch up here as well, but you may be wanting to make some notations. That's why I had you open your Bible, so when you see something here that you can write it in the margin or somewhere or in your notes, wherever you can. Hebrews chapter 3, verse 6. It starts out by saying, "But Christ was faithful as a son over His house, whose house we are." This is a metaphor talking about we are part of God's house. And then the next word is if. Now, if you look hard up there, you might see a little 3. Let's see, do I have it there?
It's there. Yeah.
Third line at the bottom.
Oh, yeah, I see it now. Way over there on the side. Now, that 3 I just put in there to show you that that's a third-class conditional clause in the Greek. And it means maybe you will or maybe you won't. It's a subjunctive mood is what we call it. And so when you see this, he says, "If we hold fast our confidence and the boast of our hope firm until the end." So we are His house if we hold fast our confidence. Confidence in what? God's Word. Confidence in who? God. There's no space for man in here. That's where our confidence lies. And if we hold fast to it, when the exigencies of the world just come crashing down on us, God and the Scriptures are more powerful than anything that Satan or the world can do to us. But we got to hold that confidence. What's the best way of holding our confidence? By what you're doing right now, studying the Word of God. That builds your confidence. And so, this third class condition, you would want to be the one who does hold fast your confidence. You consistently take in the Word. And the boast of our hope, firm till the end. What is the boast of our hope? What is it? First of all, is that a thing or is that a person? It's a person. So, who are we to boast about? God, right. We're too busy boasting about ourselves sometimes that we forget about God. And boast of our hope. Now, that word hope there is elpis, E-L-P-I-S. And it doesn't mean like, well, I hope I'll win the lottery. Well, that's not even a hope. That's insane. I mean, how many, I don't know how many people play it, but what are the chances of you winning the lottery? Was it in the millions or something? That's not what this word is. This word, pistis, means absolute certainty. There's no doubt about it. And so the boast of our hope would be in Christ, and we hold it firm to the end. Verse 7, therefore, just as the Holy Spirit says, today in if you hear His voice, and I forgot to put a 3 by that one. That's a subjunctive mood as well. And by the way, this phrase, today if you hear His voice, is in this verse 7. It's also in Hebrews 3:15. We'll get to that in Hebrews 4:7. So it doesn't... the easiest way to describe this is, when you hear His voice, whenever that is, and it's not that He's talking to you, He comes up in the subject, or you're being spoken to Him through His Word. It means, don't discount that. Really emphasize that when it says, when the Holy Spirit says, today in your heart, if you hear His voice, when you do, don't let that go. You want to concentrate on that. Then verse 8. Do not harden your hearts. I have a little S by harden, and that's a subjunctive mood. It means it could be that you may harden it or you may not harden it. By the way, who decides who hardens your heart? You do. You have volition. You're the one that can do it. So if you harden your hearts, just look in the mirror and point your finger. Do not harden your hearts as when they provoked me, as in the day of trial in the wilderness. That's what I was talking about earlier. They defied God. They hardened their heart. And they provoked Him because they did not trust Him. They didn't believe that He could do what He said He would do. Verse 9, where your fathers tried me by testing me and saw my works for 40 years. So it's their fathers who really made a mess of things by testing Him. They tested Him in several places. When they saw the Egyptian army closing in at the Red Sea, and they were looked like they were goners. They didn't trust the Lord to save them. And saw my works for 40 years. So the 40 years comes from the spies I spoke of earlier spied for 40 days. And they came back and they were boo-hoo-hoo, and the people boo-hoo-hooed. And God sent them back to where they came from. And so He sent them back to the wilderness. And how long were they going to stay there? 40 years. The spies had 40 days, and God turned it into 40 years for those that would die because they didn't believe what Jesus Christ can do. Verse 10, therefore I was angry with this generation, that's the first generation that came out of Egypt, and said, they always go astray in their heart, and they did not know my ways. I want you to underline, if you have your Bible there, did not know my ways. Are there consequences of not knowing God's ways? Of course, that's what we're seeing. How many people do not know God's ways? How many professing Christians don't know God's ways? What you don't know can not only hurt you, it can kill you. And there's no excuse, because God's Word is alive and powerful. Verse 11, as I swore my wrath, they shall not enter my rest. Not going to happen. That special place. Can you imagine the indignity of having to turn around the promised land that God had made for these Israelites, and because they didn't believe the Lord, they're going back with their tail between their legs and they're going back to die. God's serious about this, isn't He? Verse 12, take care, brethren, lest there should be any one of you an evil, unbelieving heart in falling away from the living God. Take care. You better watch yourself, because if there's any one of you, it says here, an evil, unbelieving heart, and they fall away from the living God. There were a lot more that fit that category than the ones who were trusting the Lord. Verse 13. But encourage one. There's a typo there. E-N-C-O-U-R-G-E. I'm sorry. No, that's not a typo. I just didn't make that smaller. The M stands for mandate, he says, but encourage is a command. You see, the encourage, the E is there, and I didn't put it up high and smaller. But that's that M is in the Greek. One way to show it as a command is the M, and it's a mandate. So this isn't something you can choose. God is commanding one to encourage one another day after day, as long as it is still called today. In other words, we still have the opportunity to pick up where the Israelites failed, and that is to enter this special rest. As it is still called today, lest any one of you be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin. That's one of the hardest things to deal with, sin in your life, because it's deceitful. It says, don't steal. Well, I want to steal. I deserve it. And so they go and steal something, and then they find out that it doesn't turn out good after all. They could be caught. They could be put in jail. They could be shot when they're stealing something. All these things. What sin does is deceive. Lest any one of you be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin. And by the way, we're talking about sinners, and sinners do sin after they are saved. And the way to recover being in carnality and separated from God is simply acknowledging your sin to Him, and it is moves as far as the east is from the west. 14. Verse 14, for we have become partakers of Christ. That word partakers means to share something, to share, be sharers of Christ. If, and that little S there is for it too, is a subjunctive mood, and it means if you decide whether you are going to hold fast the beginning of our assurance firm to the end. For we have become partakers of Christ. That word partakers is metakoi in the Greek, M-E-T-A-C-H-O-I, and is to be partners with Christ. For we have become partners of Christ if they just leave the if off, it would be easier, wouldn't it? It's like leaving the but off. Everything is great and you're ready to sign up and they say, but! And you say, oh man, I was nearly there. Same thing here. For we have become partners of Christ if we hold fast the beginning of our assurance firm until the end. What is that assurance talking about? The assurance is that we have faith and we trust that the Lord, what the Lord said He's going to do, He's going to do. Verse 16. For who provoked Him when they had heard? Wait, did I skip one? Oh, verse 15. While it is said today, if, another subjunctive mood, you hear His voice and do not harden your hearts as when they provoked Me. There's so many times that the Israelites provoke God, it's hard to tell which one it is. Just pick one. Verse 16. For who provoked Him when they had heard? Indeed, did not all those who came out of Egypt led by Moses? Now, what's significant about this verse? Huh? A lot of people wonder, when people left Egypt, it appears that many, if not all of them, were believers. However, this verse says, for who provoked Him when they had heard? Indeed, did not all those who came out of Egypt led by Moses? So we're talking about not refusing to cross the Jordan. All those that came from Egypt, except Joshua and Caleb, all of those are the ones who provoked Him. Verse 17. And with whom was He angry for 40 years? Was it not those who sinned, whose bodies fell in the wilderness? When you get in the Old Testament and you see these people were just wandering around in the wilderness for 40 years until every one of them was dead, and they say their bones were strewn all over the desert, all over the place. Didn't even bury them. So there are consequences not to obey the command to, the command to encourage your brothers. But if you want to live a miserable life and have stress and have worry and have fear and have anger, have all these things that are just eating you alive, that's your prerogative. You can choose to do that. But you can also choose to give your problems to the Lord and trust Him with them. Let me put it this way. I know I'm in the middle of a sentence, but I had a thought. My wife, Carrie, reminds me sometimes when I'm in the middle of something that I got to say something. It's so important when someone asks you, how are you doing this morning? What is our normal reply? Fine. But is it really fine? Are you really a discombobulated mess and you don't want to go into it, so you say you're fine? What I'm saying is that you decide whether you're going to have a good day or not. And you can have victory over your circumstances when the circumstances are lousy. They don't determine how your day is going to be if your faith resting. What I'm telling you is more powerful than the negative situations that you're going to be in from time to time. That's how important it is. So, God was not happy with His people. It was those who sinned, whose bodies fell in the wilderness. 18. And to whom did He swear that they should not enter His rest, but those who were... Now, this is disobedient. That is part of... That's in the definition. But the Greek word there, I have it here, is apatheo. That's A-P-E-I-T-H-E-O. And it means to refuse to believe. It means a stubborn refusal to believe. I wish they would have translated that, because that's what it was. That's the main definition. So those who did not enter His rest, but those who were, what? Who refused to believe in God. And there, I don't know how many people have heard and read these verses before, and yet they refuse to believe it. Even refuse to try it. I mean, they're just shooting themselves in the foot, is all. Verse 19, and so we see that they were not able to enter because of what? Unbelief. That's what that word should be right there. In the Greek it is. That's why I'm making a deal out of it. Unbelief. When it comes to God taking care of the problems you have you ever had any unbelief that it's not going to happen, things are going to get worse, or He's not able to do it, whatever? Do you ever have disbelief like that? I don't think anybody here wants to say, oh yeah, I do that all the time. It's all about your volition. Are you going to trust God or are you not? If you trust God, the horrible mental attitude sins that people have when they're facing unpleasant situations, if you don't have the knowledge that there is this special rest, or if you have the knowledge and you just think, well, that's not for me, or whatever. Unbelief is the opposite of trusting. And when we trust God with our issues, it's impossible for Him to fail you. Just remember that. That in itself, it's a guarantee. But sometimes God might take longer than you want and you're ready to check out. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 1. Let us therefore fear... Underline that. This is a very odd part of this verse. The Bible goes on and on and on and on and on saying, do not fear. We've gone through them, remember? But this says, let us therefore fear. And that's a subjunctive mood. Means maybe you will fear and maybe you won't. But God here wants us to fear. What is He wanting us to fear? Let us therefore fear lest a promise being left us of entering into His rest. Well, I've claimed some big problems over the last couple of months. Big promises. And I've seen them come through. You know, if you're not looking for promises, you're not going to find them. And the Bible has 7,147 of them. I suggest you pick one or more, because that's how faith rest works. You go to a problem, to a promise. He says, That's what we should be afraid of. Listen close. Don't be afraid of the problem. Be afraid of not putting the problem in the Lord's hands. That's what you should be afraid of. That's what this verse is talking about. Be afraid lest the promise being left us, and it's there, it's for us, of entering into His rest, that spiritual special place, any of you should seem to come short of it. If you see yourself coming short of it, then you need to start trusting the Lord. And you know, when I say start trusting the Lord, how do you start? If you haven't been trusting the Lord lately, how do you start? How do you get the ball rolling? How do you get it started? You talk to the Lord, right? You say, first of all, you're going to deal with the thoughts, Father, I've been out there just making a mess of everything, and I haven't consulted you, I haven't talked to you, I haven't trusted you. That'd be a good place to start, wouldn't it? For unto us was the gospel preached as well as unto them, but the word preached, that is an R, and that means it's a perfect tense. It means something happened in this preaching at that point of time, and the results go on and on. That's a very important part of Greek grammar. But the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. Now this is going, what I'm teaching here is going out to this group this morning, but it's also going out to a lot bigger group online. That's what you have to do. The promise is there. There's a lot of people that can quote promises, but the problem is they don't mix their faith with what they hear or what they see. It's just a matter of determining, are you going to trust God on that level or not? Verse 3, for we which have believed do not enter into rest, as he said, I have sworn in my wrath, if they shall enter into my rest, although the works were finished from the foundation of the world. So God's works were finished from the foundation of the world. When God created the heavens and the earth, that's the foundation of the world. Verse 4. For he spoke in a certain place of the seventh day on this wise, and God did not rest the seventh day from all his works. In other words, God showed us an example. Now, this was in Genesis chapter 2, verse 2. He's talking about everything was good, and there was a time for God to rest. And they called that the Sabbath. And the Jews still are required to not work on the Sabbath. The Sabbath is a Saturday. Because they believe they're still in this old covenant and they think that's still to do that. But that's what this is talking about. And in this place, again, if they shall enter into my rest. When it says, and in this place, if they shall enter to my rest. What is the place? And in this place again, if they shall enter into my rest. Well, the place was the promised land. They went back to the promised land, but not in the way they wanted to. I forgot to put some dark on there. Verse 6. Seeing therefore it remained that some must enter therein, and they to whom it was first preached entered not in because of unbelief. That unbelief is the same word we saw in verse 18. And what I'm going to have to do, I can either draw the line. We've got five more verses and we will be at the end. Or I can just end it here. What do y'all want to do? Up or down? Up, okay. All right, I'm going to go fairly fast, but I'll redo this again later. Verse 7. Again, he limiteth a certain day, saying in David, today, after so long a time as it said today, if, that's a subjunctive mood again, you will hear His voice, harden not your hearts. This is just saying that this rest was even in David's day. It extended. They had the opportunity to do the same thing. Verse 8, for if, again, this is a second class clause, maybe you will or won't, some of these translations says Jesus, if you have Jesus, mark it out, scratch through it. I hate to do that, but it's not the word there. The word there is Joshua. Joshua is Yeshua in the Hebrew, and Jesus' name in the Hebrew is Yeshua. They have the same name. And they put the wrong name there. So it says, for if Joshua had given them rest, then would he not afterward have spoken of another day? In other words, this was available to David and his people. And then when you get to Joshua, well, David came after Joshua, but it was there for Joshua as well. And what Joshua did, he did go in with the second group of generation of Israelites and took over the land. But that's not the same as the rest that we're talking about. Verse 9, there remains therefore a rest to the people of God. Now this is where we all stand up and celebrate. Hey, where's the confetti? This is a short verse. Do you get it? There remains therefore a rest to the people of God. This was written maybe around 2,000 years ago, but it includes us. That means God didn't say, well, y'all are in the future. This is still available. It's still available. That's what that's saying. Verse 10, for he that is entered into his rest, he also hath ceased from his own works as God did from his. Now what that's saying, God quit working and he rested. And when he's saying, those who have entered this rest, also cease from working from his own works. They're talking about us. So what it's saying, when you're in that faith rest, you're not working to try to solve your problems. God is solving your problems. Our work is trusting Him, not going around trying to tackle the problem on our own. Verse 11, let us labor. I've got an asterisk there. I'll deal with that in just a second. Let us labor, therefore, to enter into that rest, lest any man fall short after the same example of unbelief. Look what what God did to the Israelites when they refused to cross the Jordan. Now, I said earlier that to get in, to have this rest, you don't have to pay for it, you don't have to work for it, you don't have to do anything here. So I have to, that word labor is a horrible word that they chose to put there. The Greek word there is spoudazo. S-P-O-U-D-A-Z-O. It's the aorist active subjunctive. It means to be especially conscientious in discharging an obligation. Be zealous, eager, take pains, make every effort, be conscientious. That should be our attitude of entering this great rest, a spiritual rest where you leave all the garbage behind, all the stress and things, and you're looking to God, you're trusting Him with your problems. And I said there's nothing but good that's going to happen to you. I'm not saying that a situation might not be good, but everything in it results in good. Now, I'm sorry I had to press that one faster, and just the way it worked out there. And I really wish that I had it done to where you take each part. And if you were reading ahead, try harder next time. Or maybe I'll get this computer to work. I reserve the last portion of this service for people who don't know what's going to happen to them when they die. They don't like to think about death because it scares them. But the good news, the great news, the phenomenal news is that Jesus Christ went to the cross and took care of your sin problem. And he, on that cross, he said, "It is finished." In other words, he paid your price of sin for you. He voluntarily did that. And he died, was buried, and rose from the grave. And this is what he wants you to know. That is, when you put your faith alone in Christ alone, at that moment, you get the gift of eternal life. You get the gift of God's own righteousness. You become a son of God, a child of God. Your ticket to heaven is guaranteed, all because you did one thing. Put your trust, you believed, you had faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And that at that moment, you become a child of God. You acquire a spiritual, a human spirit. And now you have the great honor of going through the Scriptures and see what He would have you do. Let's close. Heavenly Father, our mind doesn't expand enough to understand how you could give us such a wonderful gift, this rest, this faith rest. We all are looking at darker and more ominous signs that things are going to get worse. A lot of people are very discombobulated because of that, but it shouldn't bother us because we've taken our issues, our fears, our woes, our problems, our all of it, and gave them to you. And you don't have the puny power like we do. You have omnipotent power, and it's impossible for you to fail us. You love us with a love that is beyond compare. Help us to see how easy a choice that is. And when we get to where we're afraid and we want to take it back, help us to be strong. And take courage. Do not fear or be dismayed. For the one who lives inside you will be strong for you today. We thank you for this. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.